The Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 319. 319. How light, while supported by grace, are all the afflictions I see. To those the dear Lord of my peace, my Jesus has suffered for me. To him every comfort I owe, above what the fiends have in hell. And shall I not sing as I go, that Jesus does everything well. Hymn 319.
Thank you. help us to read the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, that is Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace then is it no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, until this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree wert grafted among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counsellor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory for ever. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and help us to pray. O Lord God Almighty, we do ask now for thy Spirit, that we may truly pray in the name of thy dear Son. Blessed Spirit, do convince us each of our sins, and lead to Jesus' precious blood, and to our wondering view reveal the secret love of God. Show us that loving man that rules the courts of bliss. Oh, we do ask for thy gracious help. Lord, thou knowest without thee we can do nothing. Lord, we do pray for something positive this evening. Lord, we must have something positive. The shipwrecked are not saved by sinking. Lord, we pray, may shipwrecked sinners this evening be blessed with the arm of almighty grace stretched forth to save them. O Lord, may we, each if it be thy holy will at last, even as those people with whom Paul sailed, each got safe to land. And some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. Oh, we do pray that we may be brought safely and honourably to glory. Oh, what a miracle that will be. A wonder of wonders. Lord, we pray for it. And may we have the witness of thy Spirit tonight. Lord, we need saving now. Lord, art able. The same Jesus who did speak the storm into a calm, who did all those wondrous works, this same Jesus who cried out, "It is finished." Oh, we do pray to hear those words by faith and enter by thy Spirit a little at least into what they blessedly mean. To know it was finished for us. Lord, we are asking great things, but nothing less will do. Lord, we are great sinners, and great sinners need a great Saviour. But Lord Jesus, we thank thee that thou art that Saviour, of whom thy Father did send, and I will send them a Saviour and a great one. Oh, we bless thee, Lord, that thou art a great Saviour. Lord, pardon our unbelief. Save us from it. And pardon the unbelief that limits the Holy One of Israel. Thou art infinite, without limit. Lord, if it were not so, we would have no hope. For our sins are beyond recounting, and they're all against thee and holy God. Oh, we pray, be with us tonight then. Pour in, Lord, and grant the opening of a door of utterance to make known the mystery of Christ. Oh, may Christ be exalted. May he be lifted up, extolled. And may perishing, dying sinners be blessed with a believing look. Lord, thou art able. Oh, it's all of thee, from beginning to end. May our sufficiency then in speaking and in hearing be of thee. We pray for the burdened sinners. May they indeed lose their load at the cross, even tonight. Lord, oh, do favour leprous souls to wash and be clean in the precious fountain of thy sin-atoning blood, Lord Jesus. Lord, and we pray for any who are not burdened, who never have been burdened, or they've lost their burden in a wrong way. In mercy, Lord, convince them of their sin. Impress upon them the value of their soul. And the truth that but one thing is needful. Lord, if any of us lack that one thing, convince us of it, that we may seek it. That I did say to that young man who had so many things, sincerity, a realization of eternity, a reverence to thee, as he called thee, Master, a zeal, the Lord, that did tell him he lacked one thing, the one thing needful, that did say, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and come, follow me, then thou shalt have everlasting life. Lord, do so, reveal thyself, that we shall indeed be willing to part with all. We shall be drawn after thee. We shall see thee as the way, the truth and the life. We shall be so attracted to thee that we shall leave everything for thee. Lord, oh, thou wilt not have thy people of partial service. Thou said, he that will not forsake all for my sake is not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Lord, nothing but thee is enough, and nothing can stand beside thee. The wise virgins shall go in with thee, and with nothing else, into the marriage. Oh, make us wise this night, Lord. Grant us that wisdom which is from above, which is first, perfect, peaceable, holy, easily entreated. Lord, we do pray for that wisdom. Lord Jesus, thou art wisdom. Do say to the fool this night, O ye fools, be of an understanding heart. And we pray, Lord, as thou art able to speak a word in season to every case, thou wilt do so tonight. Lord, thou knowest those who are seeking a word from thee. If it is thy will, may they be granted it. And if it is not thy will, may they be encouraged to go on seeking it. Keep alive thy people, Lord. They cannot keep alive themselves. Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of thy mouth. Speak then, we pray. We commend to thee the afflicted. Remember the deacon of this cause, our friend and brother, unable to be with us this evening. Be with him, Lord, at home, and oh, might it please thee to bless him in his own soul, sanctifying to him even this. And Lord, that it might please thee to heal and restore him. And others, Lord, thou knowest them each. In so many ways thy word is fulfilled. I'll leave in the midst of thee a poor and an afflicted people. Many whom thou lovest are sick and afflicted. Lord, be with them. If it be thy will, heal them. When thou hast accomplished thy purpose in it, there are those here tonight who have proved that thou art the Lord that healeth thee. Lord, we do pray also for the bereaved. Lord, those who this day have laid the remains of their loved one beneath the clods of the valley. Oh, we ask for help as they now begin this path. Bereavement, loneliness, loss. Lord, fulfill thy word and be the repairer of the breach. Thou canst every breach repair and wipe their tears away and restore of paths to walk in. Lead thy flock on as thou dost remove thy servants, faithful pastors are removed home. Lord, go on. Oh, we ask for an outpouring of thy Spirit. Gracious Holy Ghost revival. The churches may flourish once again. Bring us back to thee, Lord. Oh, in every way we have turned aside. In every way we've grieved thee. Make it grieve us. Give us an ear to hear what thou sayest unto the churches. Thou said, I've not found thy works perfect before God. And Lord, how true that is. We would fall guilty before thee. Oh, what a safe place. Do not leave us to just acknowledge our guilt to others. If we confess our sins to thee, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, comfort each. Where, Lord, the loved one has been called to glory by thee, make it clear. Those, Lord, who long for a settling of the matter. Oh, only thou canst do it. We pray for it. And Lord, prepare us each for our end. Lord, thou art the searcher of hearts. In mercy, search ours. See if there be any wicked way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. We thank thee for thy goodness, all thy mercies to us. Continue them, we pray. We would ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 760, 760. All sufficient is our Jesus, though our sins are black as hell. From pollution he can raise us, or from nature's deepest cell. He on Calvary cancelled all his people's sin. Hymn 760.
Thank you.
dependence on the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter we read, the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 11. Reading verses 5 and 6. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. What a beautiful theme is the theme of the grace of Almighty God. The promise of the Lord in the Psalms, He will give grace and glory. What is grace? The sovereign favor of God by which every one of His people were first chosen. We have it in our text, the election of grace, that is the choice of grace, and saved by grace. We might consider grace really in two ways. Firstly, the principle of it. God saves by His grace. That is, He accounts unto His people the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. As He accounted unto Him their sins. What a gracious act that was. And as He accounts unto them His Son's blessed righteousness. What a gracious act is that. And then, of course, we might consider grace in relation to those things which the Word of God speaks of as graces. The graces of the Lord Jesus Christ, the graces of the Spirit, that is, the Spirit conveying the graces of the Lord Jesus Christ to His people. Paul here refers to the smallness of the number of the people who receive this grace. He recounts how Elijah felt that he only was left in his day. But how mistaken he was. The answer of God unto him came, I have reserved unto myself at this time 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Jesus himself said, didn't he? Few there be that find that straight gate and that narrow way that leadeth unto life. But few isn't none. And few isn't just one. I don't believe there will ever be a time when there is only one child of God on this earth. And I say that on the ground of what the Scripture says. For when the apostle speaking of those that shall be alive and remain, when the Lord Jesus comes again, he doesn't speak of one. He says those that remain, alive and remain. A further word we might consider in respect to the smallness of the number The text speaks of a remnant. Jesus, when he taught importunity, teaching his people to pray and pray and pray, to the very end, he said, "Shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" That word seems to indicate it will be very scarce, but he will find it. Because everyone who has that faith in them, he knows them. He knows where they are. Why? He knows where every speck of dust of the departed, of the bodies of his people who have departed previously to glory. And he gathers them all up in that last great day from wherever they are. Even so then at this present time. So it wasn't just the present time that Paul was in. This is the word of God that remains to the end of time. When there is a present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. A remnant. What might we say concerning the word remnant? As we've already mentioned, we've already referred to a small piece of the human race. When we think of a remnant, we think of a small piece of material. How many a lady has gone into a draper's shop and perhaps they have some small item to make and they look in the section where there are those remnants of material which may be purchased probably at a lower price than if it were bought from off the roll. What does this set forth? The remnant, in other words, a piece that is left over. Now, that isn't how God refers to his people. That is how God looks upon his people. They are the people who are foremost. From everlasting to everlasting, they are foremost in his mind. But to the world, the church of God is the remnant. They are the offscouring of the earth. Of Israel, it was said, and of course Israel is typical of the whole Israel of God, they shall not be accounted among the nations of the world. A remnant. What a different view God has on everything to what men have. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. As you remember in Isaiah 53, when it comes toward the end of that chapter, where the Lord speaks of that people, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he hath borne their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. The great of this world are allowed by God to have their portion. But he gives to Christ his portion. His father says to him, "Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy habitation." Even so then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. This precious doctrine of election, sovereignty. And it is an election of grace. That means God chose a people in grace. That is, he didn't choose them because of anything about them. He chose them because he would. He didn't choose them because he foresaw some works that they would do. No. They are the election of grace. And how this has been continually manifest in the manifestation of the people whom he has elected. Oh, if we consider some of those in the Word of God, whose cases perhaps we know more of than others in the book. How the election of grace shines. Think of Saul of Tarsus. And what does he say concerning this grace we're trying to consider this evening? He said, but the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He said, I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of Christ. Ananias, when he was told to go and see this man, he said to the Lord, Lord, I've heard of many of this man. And he hails thy followers to prison. Go thy way. He is a chosen vessel of mercy unto me. Behold, he prayeth. The election of grace. Oh, what grace saves one of those two thieves? What grace brings Jonah up out of the belly of hell and out of the belly of the fish? What grace restores the adulterous murdering David? What grace brings Samson at last to glory? Answers his last prayer, having caused his hair to grow again in the prison. The hymn writer speaks of grace, doesn't he, when he says of the pardoning grace. A Mary's or Manasseh's sins, or sins more vile than they. A remnant according to the election of grace. Hath not God chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the things that are wise? The weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty? And things which are not to bring to naught things that are? For what purpose? Remember what the Lord said to Elijah. I have reserved unto myself 7,000. God's election of grace is for his glory first, for the salvation of his people second. But the two are one, really. For he is glorified in their salvation. And it is of grace. Excludes boasting, says Paul. Grace completely excludes boasting. Because nothing that any one of these people have done has any part in their salvation. Let us, as the Lord help us, notice a few things regarding the work of this grace. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. It cannot be by grace and works. For the two are completely opposite. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, "By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Oh, how many a child of God, indeed each one of them, if they have not already, they will be brought to be unspeakably thankful for this truth. It is of grace and not of works. In the economy of God's grace, God eternally appointed, he knew, the state his people would fall into in Adam. He foreknew the people. He foreknew the state in which they would come into. Such a state as no works that they do can save them. Such a state that all their works are dead works. They condemn them. Oh, the wonder of his grace. You remember that time in the history of the recovery of Israel, the rebuilding of the temple at Jerusalem after its destruction. And then the halting of the work. All in the purposes of God. What those evil men did to stop the building of the work, it was sin. It was warring against God. It was opposing Christ's kingdom. But God permitted it. You know, there can't be any real delay in God's work. If there appears to be a delay, it is simply that God's time has not yet come. And what did that opposition against the building of the temple bring forth from God to the people? It brought forth from God what was needed. Grace was needed. The power to overcome the opposition was needed. And what did the Lord say by Zechariah to Zerubbabel? He said, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." God showed once again the things that are impossible with men are possible with him. He showed once again that unless the Lord build the city, they labour in vain. Except he keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. But he showed once again, He has, in the economy of his grace, a sufficiency to meet every opposition against him. You see, these people themselves, the Lord's elect people, in themselves as fallen sons and daughters of Adam, they oppose God's will. They oppose God's work. None of them would submit to God if God did not put forth his all-conquering grace. And his word there to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power. You who this evening are by his grace made to feel to be without might, without power, without sight, without anything but sin. Oh, what a blessed sound that is when God says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Grace all the work shall crown. It lays in heaven the topmost stone and well deserves the praise. If by grace, then is it no more of works. It is of grace. Therefore it is sure, says the word in another place. If it be of grace, then it is sure to all the seed. Because grace is God's eternal fixed purpose. The sinner that was chosen in the election of grace must surely be saved by grace. God cannot deal with that sinner in any other way but by grace. That is, he will not deal with them as they richly deserve. The first manifestation of this grace is the new birth. We sometimes refer to it, don't we, as the call by grace. You see, our text speaks of a remnant according to the election of grace. And the important thing for each one of us here this evening, am I among them? Well, grace puts his people among the remnant. Manifestly so, and it's by the new birth. Conviction of sin, a need of God. Grace makes a sinner say, like the psalmist, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That thirst is grace. You would never thirst for God if God did not give you the grace of a thirst. Grace is a thirsty thing. Do you wonder why Jesus said, I thirst? Undoubtedly, because of the extreme, the immeasurable sufferings which he is enduring in his sacred, holy humanity. He's dried up like the potsherd. But you know, everything you read that Jesus did was for a purpose of grace. Though Jesus, when he said, I thirst, was speaking of that painful sense of the need of moisture in his body. His tongue clave to the roof of his mouth in his sufferings. There was something deeper. He thirsted to do his Father's will. He thirsted to bring every one of that election of grace to God. Remember that word of the Lord to Elijah? I've reserved unto myself 7,000. God in his grace will have his people come to him. They would never come to him did he not give them grace. He would never want them to come to him if he were not gracious toward them. He will have them come to him because of his gracious purpose. There's nothing in them by nature attractive to him. Ruth Bryan, when she wrote to that bride on her wedding morning, because Ruth Bryan was so blessedly, gloriously taken up with the heavenly bridegroom, on that dear young woman's wedding day, she can't write on any other subject. And she says, Christ's bride had no love for him. He gave her his love. She had no beauty that he should desire him. He gave her his beauty. She had no qualities that would in any way stand beside himself in a marriage. He gave her every one of his qualities. And so she goes on. Grace, not of works. If by grace, then is it no more of works. The grace then of a hunger and a thirst after God. That means, sinner, tonight, if you feel to be lacking that thirst, I've sometimes spoken like this when speaking of the thirst that the Lord gives his people. I can come no lower than this in describing it. A thirst for a thirst. It's by grace. And therefore, if you feel to lack the thirst, if you find other things drawing you away, keeping you from God, this text, which says it's not of works. You say, does that extend to the thirst? Well, I don't find it excludes it. By the works, the Lord surely is speaking of everything that is good in God's sight. Everything that constitutes in a sinner's experience their salvation. Lord, give me the grace to thirst for thee. Kindle in my heart those living desires. It's by grace, now we speak then of this grace being an attraction. An attraction. But how does God in his grace attract sinners to himself? Let us be quite clear, my dear friend. There is no way to God by works. If you could perfectly fulfill the law, if you had never once broken it, If you were not descended by ordinary generation from the man who did break it, you could go to God because you'd have a righteousness of your own. But you don't. Adam and Eve didn't once they had fallen. And you and I are descended from them. But God will have this people near unto him, with him, in union with him. God then makes the source, the channel of grace toward his people as the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. By grace. Paul says, doesn't he, writing to the Corinthians, ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. I hinted at it earlier, the Lord help me to say one or two more things concerning it. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he should be that mediator between God and men. Oh, how gracious of God the Father to give sinners such a mediator. One who is both God and man in one person. One who, as Job says, can put his hand upon us both, upon an holy God. He's one with the Father and with the Spirit. And upon men, sinners, because he is a man himself, no sinner, but one who had the sins of his people imputed to him. He's under the law. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He became poor in being made man. He became poor in being the surety of his people. He became poor in becoming the Lamb. God's Lamb, which God provided for his people. Sovereign provision. All-sufficient provision. His grace is all-sufficient. There is no need of works because the work has been done. There is one in our nature who is God the Son. And he has said, it is finished. No other man could possibly say that of the things which Christ spoke of when he said, it is finished. The law is perfectly fulfilled in our nature. The curse is completely removed. As one dies, is made a curse for his people. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now this person, the grace of this person, all the gracious offices of this person, are what God uses to attract sinners to himself. You know, when a poor minister gets a sight of these things, how his words seem to come so far short in describing them. The wonder of that grace. when sinners broke God's holy law, the dying Son atones. Why? Of grace, that's why. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. God does not say, I'll do this for these people because they've tried their best. No. He does, he says, I'll do this for these people because they've tried their worst. They've done their worst to offend me. They've done their worst to grieve me. They've done their worst to put themselves in an awful state of condemnation and misery. Jonah, we referred to earlier. What that man had done, and none of you and I can say this evening we're any better at all. By grace, there's a great fish prepared. It was by grace the storm was prepared. But all the one above all others that was prepared, was the one that Jonah looked to from the belly of hell. He said, I am cast out of thy sight. The hymn writer said, no labours of mine, with fasting and tears, can put away sin or shorten arrears. One only sweet fountain of blood that was spilt can loosen the mountain of high crying guilt. Oh, gracious to provide to Jonah that holy temple, Jesus Christ, that a poor sinner may look to. How can you expect salvation, Jonah? God has promised it. God has done it. The Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. This attraction, then, if by grace, if by grace. What is the place that these people are attracted to? It's the throne of grace, isn't it? What is the word of God concerning the throne of grace? It's simply this. Ask. And it should be given. Isn't that grace? It is. What does God bid the sinner bring to this throne of grace? Not just bid them, what does he do to them so that they do come to this throne of grace in such a way and in such a condition? Nothing but the plea for his mercy and his grace. Since it's a throne of grace, and I've sometimes said this, remember, sinner, it's a throne of grace, not a throne of works. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If by grace, then is it no more of works? But then you see, just a few thoughts here concerning that sinner in his coming to the throne of grace, what he comes for must be given by God. Hark how the gospel trumpet sounds. Christ and free grace therein abounds. Free grace to such as sinners be, and if free grace, why not for me? On that truth the sinner comes to the throne of grace, but on that truth the sinner does not receive grace. What you come to the throne of grace for, you need the Lord of all grace to give you. Now we might speak of that in several ways. The word of his grace. Or if he speak the word of his grace into your heart. That's complete, isn't it? He spoke that word out of his goodness alone. And that word accomplishes in you of itself, of God's own power, it does it. Have there not been times in your life, child of God, when your only hope was in that poor, feeble petition, sometimes expressed in a sigh or a groan? And you said, in effect, in the words of the hymn writer, and if no grace my Lord will give, I must lie down and die. That's grace in the experience of it. It's given. And if you have been given grace in this way, my dear friend, you are one of the election of grace. Because it's not given to anyone else. And that which he has given you, he'll never take away. Grace once received can ne'er be lost. The psalmist said, didn't he, to his Lord, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. On what ground did you receive that word? You received it on the ground of grace, didn't you? You asked for it on the ground of grace. You said, though, Lord, I don't deserve anything but hell, Lord, be merciful to me. Be gracious to me. Let me find grace in thy sight, Lord. Just drop a gracious word, Lord. Graciously pardon my sins. Graciously save me. Graciously heal me. Graciously deliver me. And in his time and way, he was gracious to you. You received it on the terms of grace. It came to you with all the freeness. Grace is inseparable from every other attribute of God. Loving grace. Merciful grace, compassionate grace, almighty grace, all-sufficient grace. If by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. As soon as there are any works in the matter, grace is not there. That's why Paul, writing to the Galatians, was so strong in the language he uses, because they were trying to mingle grace and works. He says, having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh. You know what a blessed, pure gospel the Lord has given in his word. And if your heart has been touched by grace, to feel your need, your soul will, by the Spirit's operation, loathe a garment of two cloths. Loathe a ministry that mingles grace and works. Because as soon as works are brought into it, we're all damned. I was speaking just now those blessed words, it is finished. It is finished. And the Lord causes his people to flee to that one. To trust in that one. To cling to that one. On a life I did not live, on a death I did not die, hangs my hope for eternity. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? I was thinking of the third chapter this evening where it speaks of a particular and an infinite blessing that is granted to the Lord's people by grace, being justified freely by his grace. What is justification? It is God accounting a sinner right in his sight. Perhaps the clearest thing in the scriptures with regard to the experience of a justified sinner is the parable of the publican. He stood afar off and smote on his breast, wouldn't lift up so much as his eyes to heaven. What is that all setting forth? Grace has touched his heart and stripped him of everything. When we read he would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, that speaks of a sinner realizing that they in themselves are completely unacceptable to God. No more, my God, I boast no more of all the duties I have done. I quit the hopes I held before, trust the merits of thy Son. You say, the parable doesn't mention that. His prayer doesn't mention that. It does. Because that man prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. By the Spirit's teaching, his eye was on Christ. As soon as a sinner asks God for mercy, his eyes are on that sacrifice. And Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The mercy of God the Lord showed to him. He showed him the mercy. I will receive you. I will accept you. I will pardon you. I have cleansed you. In my sight thou art right. I account unto you the righteousness of my Son. Ye believe in God, said Jesus in John 14. Believe also in me. The Lord tells his people to believe in him. And by his powerful enabling, they do. Is there one here tonight and you say, that's what I need? Well, you need grace then. Not of works. We believe in ourselves too much. That's our trouble. A poor, bankrupt, helpless, undone sinner who can't repent, who can't believe, who can't love, who can't obey, who can't stop sinning, who can't do anything but sin. And the Lord says to them, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? What will the Lord grant this person who in their life has been given grace? What will he grant them? At the end of their life, he'll grant them glory. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And how is it these people will escape eternal condemnation? It won't be what they've done. But you say, doesn't the word of God speak of in the day of judgment, people being judged according to what they have done? Yes, it does. But that refers in the Lord's people's cases to what grace has done in them, what grace has done in their lives. The works of the Lord's people are the fruits of the Spirit. And when the Lord did speak of his commending his people in the day of judgment, what was their response? They shall say to him, Lord, when did we this? Their eyes were not at all on anything they had done. Their eyes were on what the Lord himself had done. Well, I must leave it. Tremendous subject. The Lord bless it to us each. Even so then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. One of this remnant, says the subject of this grace, one of this remnant I would be, a soul devoted unto thee. No more on idol's gaze, tinsel grandeur, but fix on thee my choice. Amen.
God willing, there will be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening. Mr. Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Cottingham is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 205. Jesus is our great salvation, worthy of our best esteem. He has saved his favourite nation. Join to sing aloud of him. He has saved us. Christ alone could us redeem. Hymn 205.
pray for that grace to give thee all the glory. We thank thee for the truth. We ask thy blessing on it. May it remain with us. May it be a strengthening to some poor weak member of the election of grace tonight. They may, in the truth, press on with that mark set before them, looking unto Jesus. Forgive all amiss, grant us journeying mercies. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us and the whole Israel of God, now and forever. Amen.